Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
It was during the pre-show, and welcome back here, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock. This is Saturday, so we always have to, I always like to point out it's Saturday, because I love it.
And you're going to stay up all night again tonight, aren't you? And you're going to have another miserable weekend.
Maybe I will stay up all night tonight. You know? Maybe I will. I mean, I got no work I got to do tomorrow other than the work that I'm going to be doing, which, okay, now...
Yeah, tell Mr. Bell you got to do work.
I am doing work. I'm doing some writing. This weekend, I'm doing nothing but writing. I'm doing a lot of writing this weekend. So I can't make it to no softball game, no how, okay?
Well, all right, Mr. Eloquence.
Anyway, as I was saying, during the pre-show tonight on Phil TV... I got a hold of a film clip, and I initially got a hold of this clip watching a website called The Rialto Report. Now, The Rialto Report is a fascinating website. I'm a big history fan, and what do I mean by that? I like history, especially the history that hasn't been told, and there's a lot of it. You know, that's why I like the history of black people in the military, the history of, the 761, and... units like that that were African-American units, because I wasn't told that history as a kid. Nobody, they didn't make any movies out of it. It wasn't in the textbooks. That's why I like The Gay Metropolis, which is a book that I read about the history of gay people in the United States. Just exactly, what did gay people do in the 19th century, in the 18th century? Where did they meet? When did these gay communities come together in different cities? And what, spurred the movement, and so on. To me, it's interesting history, and we shouldn't be afraid of it, because history is something, especially as Americans, because we believe in truth, we ought to embrace it. We shouldn't be afraid of the history. And the history of the beatniks, what was that all about? Drug use, what's that all about? And these are things that you don't find in textbooks. So anyway, I was looking up the history of the nascent porn industry, if you will, and by that I mean... sexploitation movies on into the hardcore stuff of the 80s. And I got interested in this when we were showing this movie on Phil TV one weekend called Diary of a Nudist. Now, this Diary of a Nudist, which some people may think was just a record of a nudist colony, it was a way of our society to look at sexual movies and have it be legal. They would not allow you to make any movie containing nudity unless it was about a nudist camp or was some kind of a documentary. So they got around it by saying, well, here's a documentary, a diary of a nudist, And of course it wasn't. There wasn't anybody in this film. I mean, everybody was like perfect looking. All the women were gorgeous. And the guys were whatever they were. And,
Yeah, that one lady, man, she had a pair on her.
Will you knock it off?
I don't want to hear about a pair on anybody, okay? Can I just make that statement?
Yes.
Hold on. You, Robert, and you, I don't want to hear about anybody having a pair on them. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And you too, Phil.
I didn't say anything, and I don't tell me what to say.
I don't want to know about your pair or her pair, anyone's pair.
What about your pair?
You dirty...
Hey! So anyway, I'm looking up this film, Diary of a Nudist, and I'm looking up the actors and the actresses, and I finally find this website called the Rialto Report, which has a whole thing about Times Square, a whole thing about the very early people that were performing in the early sexploitation movies of the 60s, which they didn't call it sexploitation then. They didn't call it softcore porn. They called it nudies. That's what they called them.
The what?
Nudies, man, because there were nude chicks in them. So anyway... I found this one actress I was curious about, and they linked something on YouTube, and it was a dance scene. It was not a dance scene featuring nudity. It was a nightclub dance scene, and I'm looking at these people dancing from, like, 1966, and I don't know what... I swear to God, if you didn't know what you were looking at, and there was a doctor watching it, you would say, Doctor, what affliction is this? Multiple sclerosis, because the dancing...
Phil, I don't like that. I danced like that. The frug, the Watusi.
What do you mean a Watusi?
That's what they call the dance.
The frug and the Watusi. I don't care what you call it. These people look like they have some kind of neural problem.
They're doing the Watusi.
But what do you mean a Watusi? Isn't that an African tribe?
Yes, it's a... Robert, please. I'm a liberal. And I say that, I know Phil doesn't like me saying that, I would never say anything racial. But the Watusi was an homage. I think it was a black group that actually came out with it.
Well, whatever, man. I don't want to go into a whole history of...
You said you want to know the history of the Watusi.
I didn't say I wanted to know the history of the Watusi. I said I was interested in looking up the history, you know...
Of porn.
Of, not porn, but what with the history of these nudie movies. And I got into the history of porn, but I got into this dance. This has got nothing to do with porn. These are people that are dancing. Look at this guy here. There's a guy in this dance step. You'd swear this guy's being electrocuted. That's what it looks like to me.
Well, I think that that's very offensive. He doesn't look like he's being electrocuted. It looks like the Watusi. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I know it's a dance.
Yes, it's also a tribe. So it was an homage to the tribe.
What?
The Watusi.
The dance they do on a Watusi?
Would you get off this kick, okay?
Phil.
No, Phil. The Watusi was an homage to the tribe. It was a stupid freaking nightclub dance. Get out of here. And the rest of these people look like they've got some problem. They look like they're being electrocuted. They look like they have multiple sclerosis. A couple of them look like they may have some sort of a spastic colon. A couple of them...
Colon?
Yes. They look jacked up. All right, 877-876-PHIL. So I had this clip playing, and I thought people might be interested to look further into it as we do try to elucidate you here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, a couple of things that I want to say of note. One of them, tomorrow night on Phil TV in HD, we're going to be showing two films, not one, but two. One, The Bloody Pit of Horror, and the other, of course, DOA, starring Edmund O'Brien. Now,
excuse me, what do you mean, The Bloody Pit of Horror?
Do I got to explain everything to you? Get David Hall on the line, okay?
Oh, so now you're asking for the boss man. I can't wait for this.
I didn't say boss man.
Just never mind.
Yeah, I am. I want to get David Hall on the line, please. Right now, bud.
Oh, sorry.
Because I want to get this cleared up once and for all. You don't have any say in the movies that are shown.
David. David. Hey, David. What are you doing there? It's David. He's at a construction site. They're putting on a wing out of a house.
What I'm going to be doing. Hello?
Yeah, David, it's Phil.
Yeah, but right now we're in the final. We're just putting up a wall here. I got the guys working late. You know, I put a wing on the house.
You put a what?
I put a wing on the house.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've got another wing next week, and then I'm going to fly my house to Las Vegas. Oh, God! No, we're just adding, what I'm trying to do is we're adding on an extension here, and these guys are out working late. So what can I do for you?
You got construction workers at your house at whatever it is, midnight?
Yes, I do. Construction workers at my house at midnight. What can I do for you?
Well, David, tomorrow night on Phil TV, we've got two movies, Bucket of the Pit of Horror.
What was it called?
It's called The Bloody Pit of Horror.
The Bloody Pit of Horror, okay.
And DOA.
Oh, man, Phil.
See, David, this is what I said. It's nothing but death. It's death, death, death.
You do a comedy show, or don't you?
Yes.
Why don't you show some laughs? Why don't you put on the gentleman, Jonathan Winters?
Yeah, Jonathan Winters. You don't know his name?
Yes, I know his name, but I've been in the middle of trying to get this retaining wall up. I got to get a drainage culvert. There's a lot of things I got to do before they sign off on this. I got the city coming in tomorrow. That's why I got these guys working late. But the whole thing I'm trying to tell you is, why don't you show something on Phil TV that isn't quite so ghoulish? Bucket of Pit of Horror? What is it?
It's called The Bloody Pit of Horror. It's a sign. It is funny. What are you talking about?
What's funny about that?
The whole movie is ridiculous. Did you see it?
No, I have not seen it.
Margaret, did you see it?
I did watch it, and I don't know what you're talking about. It is ghoulish.
The whole thing starts off with a guy wearing tights and a mask. He looks like a professional wrestler. Then they put him into a box that's supposed to be some, you know, 14th century coffin. It looks like it was made at a high school set class. And then he's supposed to be stabbed with these knives, and it's like five cardboard knives. The whole thing is cornball.
This is called the bucket of the pit of the... What is it again?
It's called Bloody Pit of Horror.
And where was it made?
Why does that matter?
If it was made in Italy, I mean, you know, you've got something... Those people know how to make... If it was made here, then I'll go ahead and I'll say to you, I'll give it my stamp of approval, and I'll back you up to the advertisers that it's got to be crap. But if it was made in Italy, Those Italians, I'm telling you, they make horror movies that will absolutely scare you to death.
I think it was shot in Italy with an American crew.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
I told you, Phil.
No, no, no.
What's wrong?
No. Hold on, hey, baby. Baby, go get my, go get that flask I've got the car. No, you can't be serious.
What are you talking about?
You're showing an Italian horror movie on Phil TV, right? When I've got advertisers checking in to see how kitschy and stupid those movies are, and you've got an Italian horror movie? Those things will scare people to death. Those Italians know how to make horror movies. What's the guy's name that you're always talking about?
The guy's name?
Yeah, the guy you're always talking about, the Italian.
The Italian that I'm always talking about?
The guy that makes the movies.
Argento, Argento.
That's it, Argento. And the other one?
Bava.
Bava. Argento and Bava. Those two guys make horror movies so realistic that people will die from fright. And tomorrow night, I've got the guys from Flemley's, the muffler place, and I've got that lady who will be watching Phil TV tomorrow night. She's the one who has the spastic colon pills I was talking about. They want to sponsor your podcasts. And they're going to tune in, and they're going to watch
David, can we calm down here for a minute? Because I want to say a couple of things.
Is this going to be a speech?
He's been giving speeches all night, David.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Maybe it is going to be a speech. Can I just say something?
Go ahead.
First of all, I know about Bavo and Argento. They're great filmmakers. This is a piece of garbage. It was shot in Italy. I think it's shot in Italy. It has an Italian crew. It's all American actors, and it was American produced. It's ridiculous beyond all. It's the stupidest thing you ever saw in your life.
And you're saying Italians made it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, it'll probably scare. You said there was a guy in tights and a hood?
Yes.
Well, what's that mean?
The guy in the tights and the hood?
Yeah, what's that?
That's the guy. The movie opens in the 14th century. The guy's called the Crimson Executioner.
Is he a wrestler?
No, he's not a wrestler. He's a guy that's. The movie's about the ghost of this guy coming back and butchering people up.
Great. He's wearing tights and a hood. So right there, you've got a gay overtone, the Crimson Executioner, you got some wrestling going on. I got people watching the show tomorrow night to sponsor your podcasts. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to hit this as lightly as I can, Phil. You got to do something else. If you got some horror movie that is going to take people into another kind of consciousness of fear, and on top of that, it's gay and wrestling, I can't have it. I can't do it. Do anything you can. Show anything you can. I don't want the bucket of the pit of the blood, whatever the hell.
It's, David, it's called Bloody Pit of Horror. That ought to scare you enough.
Bloody Pit of Horror. Don't you have to break? It says 18 minutes after the hour. Back when I was a disc jockey.
All right, hold on for me. Yes, we do have to break. Sorry. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're still showing Bloody Pit of Horror tomorrow night. So how does that make you feel, Margaret Gray?
You know something? I hope the FCC gets a hold of the... Well, they won't do anything anyway, will they?
No.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I can't breathe.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and just checking into some news that possibly lawyer girl saw details of online sex assault.
You're kidding.
No. 15-year-old Andre Pott passed out drunk at a friend's home, woke up and concluded that she had been abused sexually. In the days that followed, she was shocked to see an explicit photo of herself circulating among her classmates, along with emails and text messages about the episode. And then horrified to discover that her attackers were three of her friends. Good God! 8 days after the party, this child, she hanged herself. She pieced together with emails and texts who had done this to her. They were her friends. Her friends, said her attorney, Robert Allard. On Thursday, they arrested three 16-year-old boys on suspicion of sex. See, all three of these guys that did this, these kids... You might as well throw their ass in the can, because any 16-year-old kid that is involved in something that vicious and violent, there's something already, unless the kid comes from a seriously abusive background. I can bet you money a 16-year-old boy that rapes is either already genetically predisposed to being a psychopath. That's number one. Number two, that kind of behavior is occurring in his own home that he's either witnessed or he's been the victim of it. Okay. Or number three, the kid has just gone crazy with anger because of just one-sided abuse by one or other of the parents or some other older person. So either he's witnessed it taking place against family members and this is the norm, or he's just been beaten so bad that he's turned into a hostile individual himself and abuse, and you know, or no, the other one, that he's just like he was born a psycho. That's what you got to figure out, you know. The arrests and the details that came spilling out shocked many in this prosperous Silicon Valley suburb of 30,000. And together with two other episodes recently in the news, a suicide in Canada, a rape in Steubenville, Ohio, the case underscores the seeming callousness with which some young people use technology. Not only that, but stupid? Oh my God, are they stupid? Let me ask you a question. Maybe it's a good thing that they want to get caught, that they put a lot of this stuff online and they turn it into texts and they turn it into pictures and they're basically saying, hi, we just committed a crime, look at us. Maybe they already know this. Maybe they, well, you know. Or maybe they're just so dumb, it begs belief. But you sure as hell, you aren't making it tough for the cops at all. But that's about as callous as it gets. I don't get it. The only thing that I can say is, like I say, it's a psychopath thing. This poor kid sees this stuff, puts it together, and then kills herself. Nice going. Then they finally arrested these three scumbags. Now let me read this. Authorities arrested three 16-year-old boys Thursday on charges that they sexually attacked a 15-year-old. A family attorney said Audrey Pott was humiliated by online photos. That's really, you know. Maybe they know they're going to get caught, but it's worth it. The family had been trying to understand why their loving daughter would have taken her life at such a young age and to make sure that those responsible would be held accountable. After an extensive investigation we've conducted on behalf of the family, there's no doubt in our mind that the victim, then only 15 years of age, was savagely assaulted by fellow high school students. The other thing is they ought to start announcing their names. I don't give a crap, you know. Just start telling their names, you know. I don't give a... better to me if they're underage. Saratoga High School principal Paul Robinson announced her death's stunning classmates. 2 days later, other students and staff wore this girl's favorite color, teal. Man. And she saw all this crap online. I'll tell you. The internet is a marvelous invention for a lot of reasons, but I never anticipated that it would be the ultimate dumbass filter. I swear to God, did you ever think of it that way? I mean, I knew that when I began, sending out emails and just using the internet for a variety of... I mean, the first computer I ever got was in 97. I mean, the first computer I got where I was online, and it was about 1997. And... you know, of course, I used it to, like a real dork, I used it to look up things, and it never occurred to me, you know.
Do you ever look up porn?
Well, sure I looked up porn. Who doesn't?
I don't.
You expect me to believe that?
Yes, I do expect you to believe that. I didn't say Frank didn't, I said I don't.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Anyway... but the fact of the matter is, I never in my wildest dreams imagined that the internet would be one other thing. A great resource, yes. Great informational resource, yes. A disseminator of bullcrap, of course. Do you have to be smart? Is the internet a place where the smart can be, you can put your brains on display every bit as much as you can show people just how stupid you are? Yes. Oh, yeah. Because what you believe... pretty much tells the story of who and what you are. And the internet is a great place to go, and you're sort of wandering through this wilderness of facts and non-facts and bullcrap and half-crap and real stuff and fake stuff, and you are, you know, everybody wants to give their opinion. People cannot resist giving their opinion. All you got to do is take a look at the comment section on YouTube, and man, it can sure as hell show you, it can show the whole world just how stupid you are. But I never thought in my wildest dreams that people would actually be advertising the crimes they're committing. Why?
You're... Be popular.
Be popular with who? Other dumbasses? I'm the president of the Dumbass Club. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with other news. More news on the Phil TV in HD and the movies we're going to be showing tomorrow night and our one-man show and other things we'll be offering up. Coming up, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Stick around.
The
Phil
Dumbass.
Henry.
I resent that.
Famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley is going to join us here briefly on our newsmaker line to talk with us about the podcast she's got that just came out on Friday. And Bobby and Steve are with us from Western Estates. Bobby, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing good. Thank you.
And the Bobby Dooley podcast, a new episode, two-parter with Chris D'Elia. Tell us about it.
It was a lot of fun. So Chris D'Elia is... very interesting young man. He's originally from New Jersey. He grew up in Southern California and is very funny, very handsome young man. And we spoke an awful lot about his career. Steve got into it a little bit with Chris. And Steve, if you want to speak to that.
Well, I don't want to do it. I mean,
Well, my understanding was Steve, well...
Steve, he had his hand shoved in his pockets. And what attracted Chris's attention is that even when Steve came back into the studio, he didn't take his hands out of his pockets. He pushed the door open with his shoulder and then actually delivered some coffee with the coffee balancing on his shoulder.
Well, yeah, because
Yeah, because your hands were busy in your pockets. That's when I made the comment. Basically, I said, joy-hurling are we? And then Chris... took it from there.
I didn't think it was fair.
So, my understanding is you're telling me that Steve had his hands deep in his pockets, joy-holing.
Yeah, well...
That's what I think, and that's what Chris concluded. But that's at the tail end of the episode. I think you have to listen and enjoy. There's quite a bit that happens. Chris D'Elia, he's a marvelous, marvelous, funny guy. And... we're excited to have him.
So that dropped on Friday. Part two will be a week from Friday. And I know that you were planning on recording Friday as well, correct?
We were planning on having Jane Wells, but Jane got busy. I think she got called away to a story. She's a wonderful girl. And she said, Bobby, I know that in so many ways you're... And she was very honest. She said to me on the phone, I know in so many ways you're... you know, a little bit superior to me. And I said, oh, Jane, stop it. Everyone loves you. And she said, everyone loves me. She said, but you are your own woman, and I've often admired you. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, I love your sense of style. I love the fact that you don't have to work like I do. I love how you've been able to maintain your skin tone, as I haven't.
All right, let's stop for just a second, okay?
I'm just being very honest, Phil.
No, stop. That's not fair. I don't think that's fair at all to come on and say, well, we couldn't have Jane Wells on, but you know what happened, Phil? Let me just tell you this, that, this, and that.
What she was saying about skin tone and everything.
What do you mean? I think Jane Wells is a gorgeous woman.
She's cute, yeah, she's cute.
So in any event, what happened? You got to reschedule?
Why are you rushing through this? I wanted to tell you she's cute, and she has a very nice figure, but I think if you put us side by side is all I'm saying.
That's nice. That's nice. So,
That's nice.
Are you saying good night?
I said that's nice.
No, you didn't. You said that night. You went that day.
Okay, so in any event, did you reschedule?
No, we did not reschedule in any event. No, we did not, because Jane was busy. She's out doing what she has to do. And I was doing what I do. And she did what she did. I did what I had to do. Right, Steve?
Yeah, you did what you did.
No, I did what I do, and she did
All right, Bobby, so you will reschedule Jane Wells. And what's up after Chris D'Elia?
After Chris D'Elia, we're hopeful that we'll have, as you mentioned, Phil, one of the iconic comic actors on television, just a tremendous man, John Ratzenberger. And he has a very long history of comic acting in England as well as here in the United States. He's originally from Wisconsin. But he's got a great resume, a long, long history of acting in both serious as well as comic roles, as well as a lot of really goofy things. He was in Motel Hell, I think, wasn't he, Steve?
And then the one where his head was sticking up.
Yeah, do you remember...
Motel Hell.
Yeah, do you remember a exploitation kind of horror movie? Where the heads were sticking up out of the ground like they were growing people?
Seems to me I remember something like that.
Yeah, it was one of the, his head was one of the heads.
Yeah, John Ratzenberger's head was one of the heads.
Okay, I mean, what was the name of it?
I think it was called Motel Hell or the Hell of a Motel. It's one hell of a motel. I don't know what was
the... Yeah, the hell, motel is the hell. Hell in the motel.
Well, every motel is sort of hell, so I don't know what...
I think it's called Motel Hell. We can look it up. So John was in that?
Yeah, he was. And you call him John? That's interesting, because I would not presume.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ratzenberger was in that?
Yes, Mr. Ratzenberger. Well, I can call him John, because I've met him. But I just wondered where you presumed to call him John.
Forgive me. Mr. Ratzenberger, he was in the hell of a motel, not...
Not the hell of a motel. It's called a one... It would be called One Hell of a Motel.
Yeah.
It's called Motel Hell. Is that right?
Yes, Phil. It's called Motel... Yes. God.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to move our little interview along here. So, all right. So, congratulations on the podcast. Any comment on Jonathan Winters dying?
Only what you have said, Phil, and what everyone has said. He was a wonderful, wonderful comic. He was a great actor. He was a great... he was a great actor and a great comic, and I'm sure he was a great father.
I'm sure he was.
And he was a grandfather.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Jonathan Winters?
Yes, Steve, he was a grandfather.
He had five grandchildren, he had two kids, and five grandchildren.
Oh, I was thinking about Jim Morrison, because you were talking about him.
Jim Morrison?
Yeah, you were talking about Jim Morrison.
Yeah, I know I was talking about Jim Morrison. I wasn't talking about Jonathan Winters.
Well, how many grandchildren does he have any?
No, Jim Morrison has no grandchildren. He died when he was 27. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Bobby, and we're looking forward to listening to this new episode of the Bobby Dooley Podcast. Chris D'Elia, where can we find it?
The Bobby Dooley Podcast, Phil, is on iTunes. You can also find us on SoundCloud. You can find us on the Sideshow Network. And you can also access us by way of BillHendryRadio.com, and that's always very exciting.
Okay, thank you very much, Bobby.
Thank you.
Bobby Dooley there, and excuse me. What, Margaret?
Well, did you hear it?
Did I hear what?
She goes, that's always exciting. Oh, my God. Every day that I'm alive, it's one more day that I'm glad to be alive. I'll tell you that.
She said exciting, huh?
Yeah, she did. Oh, it's really exciting.
Hold on.
Take a drink of the Coca-Cola. What?
You were making fun of her saying exciting. Hold on. I got a tickle in my throat. You were just making fun of her saying exciting. And did you notice what you did?
No, I didn't notice what I did. What are you talking about?
You were just making fun of Bobby saying a sighting.
Yes, I know that.
And you said, take a drink of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, Bud, I don't expect you to know how to pronounce it, but you don't know how to pronounce Coca-Cola?
Phil, you can go either way. Do you know where Coca-Cola's from or Coca-Cola's from?
Atlanta.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Henry. Thank you.
Hey, Bud, shut up.
But talk about Coca-Cola.
Yes, it's pronounced Coca-Cola.
No, it is not pronounced Coca-Cola. It's pronounced Coca-Cola. Okay? Why do you think it's called Coke?
I don't know. That's the way they spell it.
God. Hold on. God.
If you're trying to get sympathy with that, there's a tickle in my throat. I've heard that act before.
I'm not trying to get sympathy. I actually do have a little bit of a tickle in my throat. I don't know what it's from. It's called Coke because it's Coca-Cola.
It's called Coke because Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. C-O-Coke-Ola. See, Phil? Coca-Cola.
All right, I'm going to show you something.
What do you want to say?
How is that spelled?
C-O-C-A-C-O-L-A.
All right, pronounce it.
Coca-Cola. Will you knock it off with the coughing?
All right, never mind. I got to take another sip of this Coca-Cola, and we'll go into a break here just as soon as I've taken my sip and reminded you that we're online at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can access all of our archives. We've got thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived audio at philhenryshow.com. We also have our current show there. We also have our current video cast there. You can watch our video cast on demand. You don't have to be watching this live, you know, but we do provide a live stream of our video cast for you, and it is accessed on all kinds of devices. You can watch us on the iPad, the iPhone, your Android, whatever. Check us out at philhenryshow.com. I really do have a... I don't know, man.
You losing your voice or something?
Does it sound like I'm losing my voice?
It does a little bit, yeah.
All right. I think it's an allergy. And there was somebody at... yesterday I was at this meeting at a hotel, and one of the people there said they were suffering from an allergy. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. Oh, the Phil Hendry Show.
I hate you.
God love you. What's that reason? I feel like a fool in these coveralls. Arnold Stebler drove me around in a semi-truck for the past 15 hours, and he said we were supposed to meet down at the barn, and there's a surprise for you there. I just want to tell you this. The guys feel different about you. If you was to come home now, they'd just beat the life out of you. So don't come back to Norfolk right away. I remember, you know, I guess you do too. At the high school, you know, Johnny was, he started out, he was in all kinds of things. He was in everything. One thing he wanted to be more than anything, he used to tell me, I was one of his best buddies at the time, and him and me would go out into an open field, and we'd just look up and talk to one another and everything, and he says, you know what, I'd rather be more than anything in the world is a magician. And so he started magic, and he gave himself a name, the Great Carsoni, and he thought on that real hard. And he'd take a little, we didn't have no bunnies, and so he took a squirrel and dyed it white. And pulled it out, you know, and the people go, that's a white squirrel. The fact that you've been able to make two wives disappear Listen, you take care of yourself. It's wonderful to see you.
Anyway, that's Jonathan Winters. It was at a roast of Johnny Carson, and he came out in character. And the people that were sitting there at that table as he was roasting Carson, it was like Jack Benny and Red Fox and some heavy hitters. Anyway, that, I thought I'd play a little bit of that. I wish I had, I had an outtake. I had a bunch of outtakes of Jonathan Winters. And I forget where I got a hold of this tape. I think I got a hold of it from one of the engineers at Westwood One years ago. But this was prior to the internet. So everything I had was on tape, you know. And now everything that I had on tape that I would collect in these boxes and protect with my life and kill anyone that came within 10 feet of it, now it's all, you know, you can find most of it on the internet, I'm pretty sure. Like, for instance, I had this tape of Jack Kerouac and Zoot Sims. Zoot Sims is playing a saxophone. Jack Kerouac's reading from one of his books. Now, I think, you know, you can get the, you can buy the actual tape from Amazon. But nonetheless, and then that Tommy Lasorda tape, where Tommy Lasorda is going out to pull Doug Routh in the 1978 World Series, and he starts cursing up a storm. That was like a really rare thing. I had this for years. Now, it's, like I say, it's probably online. But this thing I had of Jonathan Winters, he's in a recording session, and I don't know what it was for. It might have been for a cigarette. It might have been for some advertiser. Well, he never did get around to cutting the commercial, at least not what I heard, because the guys, the tape that he was doing, it's just a bunch of outtakes of him cracking up the engineers. He's talking, he's going into all kinds of voices, and he's doing all kinds of sketches. He's talking about Abraham Lincoln. He was talking about Sammy Davis Jr. He goes into some bit about sitting on the toilet smoking Lucky Strike cigarettes, and just a I'm telling you, funny. You can imagine Jonathan Winters without having to watch what he's saying. I mean, he wasn't being edited by anybody or anything. It was just a bunch of outtakes that some engineer was smart enough to save and disseminated throughout the engineering world. It finally made its way to Phil Hendry. And I guess now, like I said, it's got to be online someplace. I'll bet you anything now you can find it because Jonathan Winters has passed on. And anybody holding on to this stuff, I don't know where it is now. I had it, and it's gone now. But anybody that's hanging on to this stuff, man, they must be uploading a lot of stuff to the internet. I don't know. It's kind of interesting to me tonight. When I was looking for some stuff, I couldn't find it. I thought, well, for sure, that would be like the first thing that would be in the, the first thing that you would see. Let me look at some other news here. Did I already tell you about this Kim Jong, his old man? Yeah, the military. We got that story out of the way. We got Matt Damon's $20 million. Oh, I want to mention to you, tomorrow night we're going to, as I did mention, and then Margaret interrupted me.
What?
I was saying that tomorrow night, and please don't interrupt me this time with a call to David Hall, we're going to have Bloody Pit of Horror and DOA.
Even after he said don't do it.
He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He's listening. I can hear construction equipment going on. So it's DOA, Bloody Pit of Horror, tomorrow night on Phil TV in HD. Check it out. Starts at 8 p.m.
You belched.
Hey, let's have an agreement here, okay?
Well, you did.
Let's have an agreement. Everybody that belches, we won't point it out. And also, we won't belch so that you can hear it on the microphone. Can everybody abide by that? Just an agreement, a friendly agreement?
I don't know if I can, Phil.
So you are going to continue to stick your mouth right up to that microphone and let it rip.
I don't want to risk tearing my esophagus.
By holding a belch in?
No, by holding it in.
Yeah, that could be serious injury, Mr. Henry.
Oh, what do you know about it? Excuse me.
Well, it sounds like you tore your esophagus right there.
What happened, Phil?
I don't know. It's this allergy, I'm telling you.
See, did you want to keep that in and tear your esophagus?
Keep in what? It's an allergy I've got. Anyway.
See, you're coughing on mic. So I think you need to be a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, so point being, as I was saying, we are going to have tomorrow night two features on Phil TV in HD. Check it out. Okay, that having been said, great. The one-man show, our one-man show performance as well as auditions continue. We'll let you know. We're coming down to the wire on that. We'll let you know when we are ready to actually put that on stage so that you can come out and see us. Our Truth is Our Bitch tour. It ought to be a beautiful thing. I've been mentioning to you that we are planning a new podcast come summertime, and we are. It will be a daily show. We are going to be bringing back phone calls. Don't worry about how we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I think you'll love it. And obviously all of this in anticipation of the fall when we really amp up our one-man show, because my understanding is that live performance season starts around October. So this summer will be really us kind of working the show out and working the act out and doing what we can, and then really, you know, hitting with a big major blitz in October, if you'll pardon the use of the word blitz. Okay.
Well, what's wrong with that?
It's sort of a warmonger term.
Yeah, that's...
I know, that's real bad, ain't it? Yeah. Okay, so there's that, and let's see. Oh, yeah, tomorrow, Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm not going to be playing in that game.
Well, he is really counting on you. I can tell he's very disappointed.
Well, then he shouldn't have counted on me to be in that game in the first place. Anyway, tomorrow, Ted's of Beverly Hills takes on Hong Kong Charlie's in the annual Ted's of Beverly Hills Softball Classic. We will certainly keep you abreast of that. I don't know, you know, whatever. So until we meet again, ladies and gentlemen, and that'll be Monday night at 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. Tuesday morning on the East Coast, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.